The meeting of the ad hoc building oversight committee will commence. Marcy, would you please call the roll?
On the roll for the ad hoc building oversight committee meeting of February 6, 2019, Director Barrett.
Here.
Director Cutter. Director Haggerty. Okay. Director Nis. Director Mitchoff. Director Sparing. Committee Vice Chair Canepa.
Here.
Committee Chair Ross.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Marcy. I'm here physically. Maybe I'll get here mentally at some point. Okay, I don't have an agenda in front of me, so is there any public comment? Oh, there we go. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indispensable with liberty and justice for all.
Indispensable.
Okay. It is indispensable. Thank you, Brian. Okay, any public comment? Again, seeing none, we'll go to item number 3, approval of the minutes of September 19th. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Please note that Director Haggerty has arrived. Item number 4, financial participation in creation of a large multi-use space at 375 Beale Street and not for the use of the Oakland Raiders. Jeff McKay.
Thank you, Chair Ross, members of the committee. The topic today is a large space over here in the corner of this building, which has not been built out yet. It's about 4,000 square feet. And originally, Baja envisioned this space as being commercial space. It could be shops, Starbucks, something along that line. To back up a little bit on designation of spaces here in this building, broadly speaking, we've got the Air District and MTC and Baja together in a condo situation, call that agency space, and then there's commercial space, which is rented out to a variety of different folks. The agency space includes not only the space that we individually own, like MTC owns and Baja owns, it also includes some space that's called jointly used space, and that means, for instance, this room, Yerba Buena Ohlone. So with time, as Baja's considered what to do with this large space over here in the corner, it's become clear that actually there's not such a need in the community for more retail space. And at the same time, we've all found that the value of this room, the Yerba Buena Ohlone, has been tremendous, and they're oversubscribed. So Baja came to the Air District and said, you know, we've got an idea. We're wondering if you'd be interested in this. Perhaps that space would best be added to the agency space as a jointly used space. And what that means is the Air District and MTC Baja have first rights to use of that space. And then in addition, there's some ancillary benefits beyond that, which I'll talk about, beyond just our use and benefits to the community. So we felt that that sounded like a good idea, and we've been working on, there are a variety of different ways in which that could be implemented. So there's quite a bit of work that's gone on between us and Baja. For a while, I'm going to present that today and talk about our possible participation in converting that from commercial space to be space that would be part of our agency space. And since we're talking about using money, I just wanted to open with this. What is the status of our bank account, so to speak? Our total reserves are $33 million. The board policy for minimum is 20% of our budget. That's $19 million, so that leaves $14 million. And so today we're talking about pulling $3 million from that $14 million for this effort. Now, this slide has much more detail than I intend to talk about. It's not up here for the detail. It's merely up here to show exactly what space we're talking about within the building. This is the first floor, and if you look at the upper left-hand corner, you see that big open 4,000 square foot square, and that's the space that we're talking about. So let me dive down a little bit more into that. So there's that square again on the left, and we did consider quite a few different options. I'm going to start by describing the option we're bringing forward And then I'll talk about the different options that were considered before we selected this one. So the option that's being brought forward here is to make most of the space open, flexible space, but to have a food preparation area. And in addition, interestingly, this space has the opening that rail cars used to be able to come through into this building. And that right now, that's a very large window. You probably don't notice it. It opens up onto the Paseo, but since the interior is not lit, it doesn't really pop. But the idea is here that there could be a large sculpture there, and that would be lit up, and that would sort of turn this into a little bit of a community beacon. Possible furniture setups, just to illustrate. At its highest density, this space could seat almost 300 people. But as we've discussed, it's intended to be very configurable. Renderings here, the large rendering on the left is a view towards that window where rail cars used to be able to come through. And in theory, that's where a large piece of artwork could be. Furniture and accessories, again, just illustrative. It's intended to be a little more high-end than Ohlone and Yerba Buena currently are. And actually, there's a point I failed to make on an earlier slide. Let me go back to that. Please do notice here that there'll be a new opening to the lobby. So we found it to be very beneficial at times to have Yerba Buena and Ohlone open up into the lobby and make a large space that people can move through. And this would add this space to that capability. So let me talk a little bit about the different options that we discussed. On the one hand, keeping it a commercial space, this could have been a full-on restaurant, for instance. At the other end of the spectrum, this could have been just an open space with no configuration at all and no food preparation capabilities. What we've come up with here is the ability to prepare food, including cleanup, and then a much, much larger configurable space. And so we'd have all of the required infrastructure for that food prep. So on the AV side, looking at what we could have done, we could have done nothing. But as we look at the value from this room and from Yerba Buena and Ohlone, it's just becoming more and more common for us to make use of webcasting and of video conferencing, and it's obviously those two things are very much on point with the missions of the district and MTC. So we do recommend here an implementation that will allow webcasting and video conferencing. We'll initially bring that hardware over from Yerba Buena and Ohlone because those spaces then are going to be refurbished. So while they're down, this space will be up, and we won't be missing any capabilities while they're down to be refurbished. The proposed operation during business hours, I've already referenced what it could be, but I bring this forward and recommend this entirely just based on that. I think just based on our own selfish, if you will, needs, it entirely works, I believe. But in addition, there's a great community benefit here. Off hours, the space could be used. Off hours, the space could be used by a third-party operator. There are a lot of community events that could be, and I'm going to go into that in a little more detail. It would take about 4 months if this is approved, to be done. Here's a breakdown of the dollars. About $6.3 million, and you'll see the second line from the bottom there says unfunded. So that's the ask to the Air District is $3 million. What we would get from that, from supplying $3 million, which is a little less than Baja would be putting in, we would get, and this is not part of myself, frankly, any net operating income. But here's what's really important. This space would be added to the inventory of jointly used spaces for the agencies. And Baja and the Air District would share first priority for use of that space. As part of this deal, we would come up with some mutually agreeable termination terms. That's common throughout all of our CC&Rs, so that's just a step we have to do. I should point out here, in the term sheet, any contract that we would enter into, we are protected from cost overruns. We would not participate in any overruns in cost in building this space out. Before I go to the recommended action, let me talk a little bit about why we really feel the space could be a benefit to the community. We're very fortunate to be part of the East Cut Community Benefit District. And we've noticed that tremendous strides have been made in cleanliness and safety in this area, and the East Cut is very much responsible for that. I'm very happy today to have here the executive director of the East Cut, Mr. Andrew Robinson. And although we're not, I want to make it very clear that we're not today coming forward to ask for you to select an operator. We're not. But Mr. Robinson is able to illustrate for us what sorts of uses we might see from this space. And very, very qualified to do that because he and his organization have been working in the community now for quite a while on topics like this. So before I go to my final slide asking for approval, I just like to invite Mr. Robinson up to briefly talk.
Committee members, thanks very much for having me here today. I'm Andrew Robinson of the East Cut Community Benefit District. This is an amazing building, and I'm sure you've experienced that in this neighborhood there has been tremendous transformation. The Community Benefit District has been operating clean and safe services in the neighborhood since June of 2016. So not quite 3 years, but just to give you a little bit of information on the Community Benefit District, our name comes from being east of the Second Street Cut, which was a lowering of Rincon Hill in the 19th century to make it easier to get to and from the water. We go from Second to Stewart, from a corner of Bryant, almost to Market. We actually don't touch Market. So we are a major contributor to Salesforce Park. The CBD is contributing $1.5 million a year to the programming and operation of that park. We do have clean and safe services in the neighborhood 24 hours a day that are available to anybody in the neighborhood, owners, visitors, renters, you name it. But in San Francisco's fastest growing neighborhood, sort of our first experiment in really dense urban transit-rich development, in a city known for neighborhoods, that community fabric isn't quite here yet. And so the CBD has actually stepped into this role of looking at the landscape, the existing landscape, and trying to provide community programming, community opportunities to get together, whether it's around art or education or public service. And today, I think the topic that I want to touch on is sort of a three-pronged strategy, that the space that's here where the behind this wall is a large space that's of great use, of course, to the entities that are here in this building, but also could be of tremendous value to the community, and we think be supported by revenue-generating rentals from, be it Moscone, trade associations, you name it. So there's some detail here on sort of the basic model as we understand it, and then I'm going to show you a little bit about the neighborhood current landscape. So as many of you probably see and experience yourselves, there is a fair amount of vacancy around the city and around the district. Where there isn't vacancy, there's often redundancy. That is in larger corporate entities serving similar items to others. There's also non-active retail use on the ground floor, be it medical or office. But we know that in this neighborhood, where we actually already have 11,000 or more residents that currently are in the neighborhood today, plus about 2,500 housing units under construction. There'll be over 1,000 of which are below market rate. We have over 80,000 employees who come into the district every day. There is a real need for sort of community gathering spaces and making our public realm be vibrant and active. So the CBD has been, over the last several years, and I apologize, there's a typo in the middle, or a issue with the slide, but we have been doing events. So we've done game nights, we did a marketplace, we did a Valentine's happy hour, which we're about to do next week, which involved goats, and we can go into that later if you want, but people love it. We had an art fair that we did last year that coincided with Untitled and Fog, the two biggest art programs in the city. And then we have a regular Friday art programming that we do. Actually, we've been partnering with the MTC's community art program here in this building to provide some music and get it out to the community. But I just provided some of the sort of attendee numbers that we've had at these events, with 200 sort of being on the low end. And the picture on top actually is a new project that we're working on called Working with some partners here in the city in the art community, where we've converted some vacant retail space into short-term art space. That isn't what we're talking about here, but it's just to talk about we are always seeing new demand for our spaces. The upper left photo is a Sunday brunch we actually did here in Rincon Place. We had about 350 residents and community members come out for that. Upper right is an art event that we did. And we've actually done two events with goats. I'm sort of plugging it because we have a goat event next week, but it's a big hit. And then we've also done sort of community-focused service and or educational events. On the left-hand side is the Supervisor District 6 forum that we held for our community to sort of get to know the candidates. And then on the right is actually we did a planning workshop here because we are co-leading a neighborhood master plan that's focused on the public realm with various city agencies. But again, I think you'd be amazed at the robust community turnout that we're seeing for these things. You know, at a traditional planning meeting, we see 20, 30 people, often the same. We had about 150 people show up to this. Over the course that we've been working on this project, we've had over 1,700 people provide comments and input, and we think that this space could be another opportunity to sort of have that space for a community to be engaged and understanding what's happening in the neighborhood. That's my presentation. I don't know if anybody has any questions. I went as fast as I could.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson, is anybody have any questions? Pauline.
Probably not for the space we're talking about, but if you do find other spaces, daycare is really a hot item and you'd really serve a lot of people.
There's I think five daycares in the neighborhood now, but there's another one about to open up in the Natalie Gubb Common Space, which will have, I think, 100 spaces. 50 will be for the below market community, and then 50 will be for the general public.
Mr. Robinson, I have one. Anybody else? I have one question. With your familiarity of the area, are there any emergency operation centers
that are? Yes, I do not believe so.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Jim.
Just a question for our staff. Will this space be available to nonprofits or, you know, to where they only pay for the operation, not to rent the building?
I believe that is part of the intention, yes.
I think that's important because, yep. You know, there's been a lot of criticism about what this building's cost, you know, and yep. What's been expended into it. And so I really think it ought to help set the example that we're trying to develop a public space that can be used by the public.
Yes.
And I think that's really important. And I think it would be a good message for both the Air District and MTC to project. So if staff could look into that to make sure it would be available for those types of organizations and groups.
Absolutely, Director Sparing, we can make sure that's built into the terms.
And Jim, if I may assume you're talking about at a nominal, if not free cost?
Yes, if it costs to open it up, you have to have somebody here.
Yes, absolutely, a nominal or no cost at all, that's correct.
Thank you. Director Haggerty.
Thank you. So this slide that had the, actually it's slide 12, but you don't need to go to it. But the money that Baja's putting up, the $3,270,000.
Yes.
What is the source of that funds?
They have two funding sources. I apologize, Director Haggerty. I don't remember the terminology they use for their different pots of money. I had hoped.
Well, are they going to be stealing it from the East Bay again?
I'm not aware that is how they're doing it.
So it's not toll money?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, I need to know the answer.
I can absolutely follow up on that, yeah.
Because I'm kind of tired of toll money being used on this type of stuff.
Any other questions?
I have a quick question. This is a preliminary question, maybe. Do we know if there what potential revenue opportunities there are through rental?
So we believe that at the very least we would break even on that. But the way we've got it structured, to the degree that there are profits, those would be split essentially equally between Baja and the Air District. But I don't want to, we're not at a point now where I think it would be appropriate for me to project how large those profits would be. I think if I did so, there would be a little more hand-waving than I'd like to do. And I'm hoping that the benefits of this are sufficient without the profit stream.
If I can, Mr. McKay, Director Canepa, you know, over time, since we've been in this building the last, like, 2.5 years, anecdotally, we get a lot of questions about being able to, if that ever becomes available. So we do believe there's going to be a real good potential rental market for that.
And the operator would be key to that, and the East Cut has great experience in that. And, you know, we didn't ask them to project revenue streams, but they certainly could if we asked them to, I'm sure.
You know, I think it's a good idea. It's a creative idea. I think one thing, I think, as policymakers, we always think that retail is going to do well. And in fact, sometimes when, you know, whether it's new housing, that is sometimes not the case. So this is sort of a, I like it. It's a different use. I think there's a community benefit. I don't know how the space is, the other space is doing retail-wise, but this might be something that can add tremendous value. So
absolutely. Yep. Thank you.
Liz.
Talk a little about the food and food preps and so forth, which is usually one of the sticky parts of renting, not only renting out, but maintaining the area at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. In attempting to maximize the potential outside use of the space, it became clear that if there's no food service capability in the space, that would greatly reduce its appeal. So let me go back.
Does it actually mean food prep, or does this mean someone is bringing food in and it's being distributed from there?
It's actually going to be configured for food preparation, yeah, but not as a restaurant.
Okay, right. So mostly this is a catering kind of thing where someone comes in, they cook it, but it's not meant for the public to stop in.
That is correct.
Okay,
exactly.
Thanks. That's helpful. I wasn't sure which way you were going on that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, did you have one more slide, or is that?
Yes, so the recommended action is to recommend the board of directors authorize the executive officer to negotiate and execute an agreement substantially under the terms in the term sheet for $3 million.
Okay, thanks. I have one or two comments or questions. And again, thanks, Mr. Robinson, for your presentation. Didn't get a chance to tell you that. The space at its current existence is at zero value. So
That's correct.
In the private property management world that I live in, it would be an abomination that part of the space would be sitting there unused in such a prime location for so long.
Right.
But that's neither here nor there at this point. So I asked Mr. Robinson about any emergency operations centers that are anywhere in this area, and I would think that might be a prime location to wire it for an emergency operations center or a public interface emergency center. And I don't believe we have any solar panels on this building, right?
That's correct.
And that building, that room would be ideally, in my mind, I'd have that solar powered with some backup battery in case of an emergency, in case of an earthquake or some other calamity or need.
Right.
And have that wired. And also, would that room be wired as an overflow room for this room?
Yeah. With the equipment I have in place, yes. It would be using the same control room there.
Okay. Yep. That's my 2 cents.
Thank you.
Would anybody like to have a motion or a question?
In anticipation of the motion, I'm just going to let people know that I'm not going to vote for this today. And the reason why is because I don't clearly understand, outside of the Air District's money, I understand ours. That's pretty straightforward. But I don't understand MTC's source of money, and for me to move forward and not know all the sources of money, I think I'd be doing a disservice to the East Bay. So I'll either abstain or vote no. I haven't figured that out yet.
Thank you, Director Hagerty. I will attempt to have that information for the full board when this item comes to the board, if it comes to the board.
Yeah.
So I'd like to make a motion that we forward this to the board.
Second.
I'll second that motion. Just for clarity, I mean, this agreement's going to come back to us, right? So we're going to know what the whole funding.
We're asking for authorization.
No, I'm going to come back to the full board. I mean, it's going to come back to the full board.
In 30 minutes, yes.
Okay,
that's correct.
So you'll have the answer to that question.
30 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Well, okay, that's. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other public comment that was not? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.